Hey guys, welcome back to the lock. My name is Big Giovanni, and this is Meek Rose.
Yo, back at it like a motherfucking crack addict. Since he didn't want to say it, I said for him. What's popping
up? Sorry about not uploading this weekend. Like we said, we were in Chicago, but unfortunately,
we were also very inebriated.
That and the hotel we were staying at, the Wi-Fi was kind of, you know, booty. We didn't get one out. So, you know, I apologize.
It'd be like that.
But we are getting one out from now on. Try to stay on it. So what are we going to talk about this episode, Dimitri?
All right. Well, the plan is to talk about our top five underrated free agents. We have a list that we share and a list that we have come up with on our own. But before we get into that, I would like to say, holy fucking shit, was that Portland Nuggets game ridiculous? I damn near forgot that we didn't do a podcast this weekend. As soon as he said it, I was like, fuck, we didn't talk about the Portland game. Jesus Christ, it was nuts, dude. We were literally sitting there. I won $10 on that game, by the way. We were literally sitting there like, yo.
On the floor.
Like, sitting. It was like four of us. We were sitting around Giovanni's computer just watching this shit as it was going absolutely ballistic. I was like, yo, son, who's going to win this shit?
And my sister's boyfriend went to sleep at the second overtime, woke up and said, is it over yet? And he realized it was another two overtimes after that.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I don't even think he woke up. I'm pretty sure I woke him up and said, yo, you owe me $5.
And he woke up to the worst news ever.
But, yeah, let's get cracking into this top five list, shall we?
Yeah, so first we're going to start with the top five list that we did combine. So who do we have here as our first contender for, I guess, on this list, we're doing underrated free agents.
Yes, sir.
So it's going to be a lot of underrated people or a lot of people you don't really hear for
hear about
free agents this summer. Yeah. So who do we have here first, Micho?
Mr. Paul Millsap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So Millsap, he's playing for Denver right now. He's going toe-to-toe with Dame. Basically,
yeah.
So this season, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
How many years has he been in the league now? 13, I believe this is his 13th season. He started in 2006, it's 2019. Yep, his 13th season.
Yeah, 13th season. He's 34 years old.
You know what I'm saying? He's out there and he's still out there getting buckets, you know. I think he's underrated because he pretty much – there was a game in the Spurs series. That was the series that I watched the most. Like, I genuinely said that I wasn't going to watch another – the only series I was going to watch was the Bucks-Celtics series after – if the Spurs got eliminated. But I changed my mind because we started the pod or whatever. there was a game in the Nuggets-Spurs series where he just, like, in the first half, he came out, went 3 for 3, or was it 3 for 3 or 6 for 6? It was something crazy from three, and just kept the Nuggets in it. Like, literally, when he was off the floor, they were, like, falling apart and shit. For me, it was scary to watch because as soon as he got back in the game, I knew he was about to do some crazy shit and get these niggas back in the game. It was highly upsetting, but, you know. Year, he is averaging 12.6 points. That's 2 points down from last season, but on a higher field goal percentage on 48, which is 2 points up from last season. His plus minus is up damn near three. Oh, no, it's like two because it's 4.95. And last year it was 2.7, damn near three. That's really good.
And then actually in this Portland series right now, he's averaging 19.3 points, two assists, and then shooting 60% from 3-pointers.
Absolutely fucking insane. I wouldn't say he's having a career year, But no. I will say that he's revitalizing his career. This is the longest that he's played since 2015. He played 70 games this season. In 2015, he played 81. He got hurt these last two seasons, it seems.
Yeah.
He only played 38 for the Nuggets last year, and the year before that, he only played 69 for the Hawks. Looks like they've been keeping his minutes pretty low, which is always good for older players. Yeah, his free throw percentage is looking really good as well.
Yeah. Well, what you're going to get with, you know, Millsap is a veteran player that can rally younger players. You see what he's doing with Jamal Murray and, all the young players in Denver. So if you add him to your team, you're just going to add another high IQ player, and then he can also help out the young guys, depending, you know, on your team there, how many young players you have.
And defensively, he is pretty fucking crazy. He probably should be up there with the Defensive Player of the Year award, because he has a 104.8 defensive rating. For reference, Giannis has a 101.3, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember what Kawhi's is. It's probably something ridiculous. His true shooting is 57%. That's pretty decent. His assist-to-turnover ratio, that shows that, you know, he's not – it's positive.
Careless.
So that shows that he's not stupid with the ball. Just all around a solid player, especially statistic-wise, to have on your team, and a good player to have around your young players.
Right. Just a fallback, I would say, about Millsap. He is getting paid this year 30 mil.
Crazy.
He has a pretty big contract here. For whatever team picks him up, it's probably going to be another big contract. To be fair,
real quick, I highly doubt it, because he is, 34? I think they're probably going to cut that down to about 15, 16, which I still kind of think is a bit much for a 34-year-old player.
You've seen what happened with Chris Paul.
Yeah, fucking Chris Paul and that. Oh, my God, that contract is awful.
Yeah.
Isn't he going to be, 36 when that contract ends or something?
Yeah, he's 34 now.
I'm pretty sure they ruined the fucking – they had a great team going into this last season, and all they had to do was not pay Chris Paul for 40 fucking million, and pay Clint Capella, pay Trevor Ariza, and pay Luke and Mbamute. But instead, they decided to go all in on Chris Paul, who's a fucking 34-year-old and is having not the greatest season he's ever had this year. It's just terrible fucking contract, just bad. Let's get off of that, though, because that's negative.
That irritates me. So right now we're going to go ahead and switch over to our second free agent tier that we have on the list. We have Al Horford. Personally, to me, Al Horford is a Hall of Famer. If you ask me, anytime I see his games, I always call him a Hall of Famer.
Big Hall. First ballot.
Yeah, first ballot. He's the ultimate big man or ultimate center you can get in the league right now. All the teams want a center that can space and that can defend. Al Horford can do both and well.
Speaking of his defense, real quick, let me slide in his defensive rating if I can find it here. I can't. That's crazy. he's a good defender. Just real quick. Just to get that off real quick, he's a really good defender. His defensive rating for the playoffs right now is a 99.3. That's good. You know that's good because he's defending fucking Giannis and giving him buckets.
The MVP.
Yes, sir. And for the season, his defensive rating is 105.5. Again, absolutely apeshit because Giannis, who's in the race for the DPOY, is only at a 101. So... yeah, and his true shooting is 60%. Jesus Christ, it's just amazing looking at this. His assist-to-turnover ratio is better than Paul Millsap's. Paul Millsap's was 1.49, if I'm not mistaken, and his is 2.77. Crazy.
Yeah. He's also a good, you know, 3-point shooter. He's averaging 36% from three. Last year he was averaging 42%.
42.9, so about 43.
Yeah.
It's a bit down, so, but you know that
it's a bit down, but that happens, you know.
And if
it's
I'm not mistaken,
that crazy.
Yeah, he took more 3-pointers last season than he did this season. So of course, and he made a lot more as well. So, I mean, when you have the ball in your hand less and you're shooting less, then your percentage is gonna go down. I know people will think like, "Yo, if you're shooting less, that means your percentage goes up." But like when you're not getting enough shots up in the game, you don't really get a good feel for it. And I think bringing him in the paint does something better because last year his field goal percentage, his actual just regular field goal percentage, was 49, and this year it is a 53.5. So yeah, bring him in the paint. He can get in the paint. He can back down your favorite center. You know, he has Joel Embiid on lock. He's constantly.
Yeah, he has his number.
Yeah, number. He knows Joel Embiid's move like the back of his hand. It's amazing. yeah. So, of course, you're gonna. I mean, he's Al Horford, first ballot Hall of Famer, great player, long time or 3-year Celtic, long time Atlanta Hawk, just really good.
Yeah, you know what you're gonna get with Al Horford. So. Any team, but, I don't think he's gonna leave. But any team that ends up getting him is gonna be really, really good in the future here.
But again, Paul Millsap, he is aging quite a bit. He is 32, and he's been in the league 11 years. That when you're a center, that wears on your body. But he's only 6'10" and he's 245. He's actually really good. That's pretty slim.
Yeah, and he also is only playing 29 minutes, so it's not like he's playing a crazy amount of minutes here for the Boston Celtics.
Yep, and just an all-around great player. I wish I could find some certain stats that I can't really find right now, but there's a stat that checks your defensive rating when another player is on the floor, and I'm positive Al Horford's stats, his defensive rating skyrockets when he's on the floor with Aron Baynes, because they're just two really good defenders. Even though
Baynes gets dunked on a lot, both long.
Even though Aron Baynes gets dunked on constantly.
Yeah,
that just means that you're trying.
Even though in this season they are down, down 3-1 now. He's averaging 10 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. For a center, that's amazing.
5 assists for a center is just great. I mean, the only center that I can think of off the top of my head that's averaging more than 5 assists is Nikola Jokic from the Nuggets.
Yeah.
And he, as Giovanni says, that he's a walking triple-double. So, you know, that's crazy.
Yes. So, all around, just a great, great player, and then a great also locker room guy, which people don't think that matters. Honestly, it does matter.
It does matter a lot. I don't know if he's a great locker room guy. I can't say that because the locker room this year has just not been great.
Okay.
it just really hasn't been great, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be necessarily Horford's fault. I just think that's all the players kind of getting fed up with not getting enough minutes.
Not getting enough minutes in Terry Rozier's case and not getting enough touches in the rest of the young players' case.
Yeah, so I don't think that necessarily has to do with Al Horford. I mean, I don't think anybody can complain about his minutes. I think his minutes are fine. I think whatever he does on the court is fine. But I just think that's everybody else kind of, you know, getting mad at each other.
Yes, sir. Now we are going to move on to the next player on our list, big Giannis Valanciunas, or however you want to pronounce his name.
Jonas,
same thing. Another big man. I'm pretty sure we're all big men here, except for one. We have one player that's not a big man. We're going to be talking about him in a little bit. Giannis Valanciunas, This year, he is averaging for the entire year because he has separate stats for each of the teams that he played on in this year season. For the entire year, he's averaging 15 points, 1.1 block, 1.4 assists, which really doesn't matter because he's a center, and 8.6 rebounds. The reason why we have so many centers is because a center, like a good defensive center, can really make or break your defense. And all of these centers are great defensive centers.
Top tier.
I'm damn near positive, if I'm not mistaken, he has the highest defensive rating of everybody that we've talked about, at 105.6. His true shooting, 61.6, defensive rebound percentage, 26.8. Just all around a great player. He's going to get in the paint, get in the way of some shooters, get some blocks, And I think that any team would be super lucky to have him around. If my Spurs could afford him, I would really enjoy him on my team next to LaMarcus Aldridge, and DeMar.
Him and DeMar already have a connection.
Who, Jonas Valanciunas?
Jonas Valanciunas? Yeah, because they play in Toronto.
Yeah. Facts. So,
that would be a great fit for them.
Is probably to let Rudy go, and that'll be $12 million off our cap holds, and we'd have about $12 million in cap, and he'd have to take a decent pay cut for what he's probably worth. So I doubt we'll get him, but would definitely enjoy him on my team. On the road, his defensive rating goes up by 1 point in comparison to his defensive rating at home, which is a 105, and on the road is a 106. But his defensive rebounding rating or percentage goes up by 3 points as well. So that's, it's give and take. Generally speaking, like non-star players play better at home. So that's something that you have to deal with pretty much every player that's on this list or underrated or on this list. Valanciunas is 27, not old, but not quite young. He's been in the league for about 6 years. I think he qualifies as a vet, but I think he still has room for improvement. At 15 points per game and 8.6 rebounds, I think that 8.6 can get up to 10, and that 16 points can get up to like 18, 16, 17. Pick number 5 in the 2011 draft. So you got anything to say about him?
I think that I've seen him work on his three. I know he's shooting threes here and there. He's shooting 29.2% from three. So I feel like he could improve on that. I mean, most centers are trying to
be fair, though, he is only shooting 1 3-pointer a game.
Let's bump it up to 5.
Yeah, let's bump it up to 5 for the first half of the season, and if we can get that percentage up to about 30, that'd be nice.
35. Yeah.
I think 33 would cap it off, and that'd just be perfect. Being able to see the floor.
You got a game plan for him in the paint. He's a big body at 7 foot.
Yep.
So you 7 foot, 265 pounds. So you have to game plan for him. He has his hooks. He can do a fader here and there. He can back down any person here, except for a couple people.
A couple people like Joel Embiid. He can back down anybody not named Joel Embiid, Al Horford, Marc Gasol. Maybe Giannis. Paul Millsap, probably Giannis. It's a very, very exclusive list of people that he probably can't back down.
So I would next year, I would like him shooting a little bit more threes, seeing how that could, pan out, because he is not that old, like you said, so he could, he could improve in that.
Jonas, come on to the Spurs, man. We have a great shooting staff. We really we got a really good training staff out there, and they'll really help you work on your shot, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
So I don't think he necessarily has to work on anything else. He is on the Memphis Grizzlies, which isn't, a really good team. But,
I think that there's one thing he can work on, getting that
what's up?
rebounding up to 10. If he at his best was 9.5 in the 2017 season, if I'm not mistaken. If we can get that up to 10, that would be spectacular.
Yeah, okay. He can work on that as well then. But you know what he's gonna get. So when he got traded to actually Memphis, he was averaging 19.9
Which
points.
is great.
Yeah, so
He's averaging 19.9 points on Memphis, my bad. It,
yeah, in
that's,
Memphis.
yeah. And 10 rebounds in Memphis, but that's only for 19 games. So let's see if he can keep that out for the entirety of a season.
Yeah, if he could do that, on whatever team he's on, either Spurs or even the Lakers,
Spurs, Lakers, Memphis, you know.
that he's gonna help out a team there. So who do we have next, Dimitri?
We did Paul Millsap. I'm pretty sure we did Marc Gasol. We did Horford. We just did
We
Jonas.
didn't do Marc Gasol.
Oh, okay. So Marc Gasol it is. Marc Gasol is up next. One of my personal favorite centers in the league. Another center that to me doesn't average enough rebounds, but his 3-point percentage makes up for that for me.
Yeah.
What do you have to say
Right
for him?
now.
I'm gonna let you start it off this time because I started off the last four. Three.
So yeah, 3-point shooting, he's shooting 44 percent from three. So I think he's one of the better shooting 3-pointer centers.
Right.
So this year his drop off for when he played in Toronto, it kind of dropped off there. He dropped off to 9.1%. That was just for 26 games though, so he didn't necessarily pay bad for the entire season. So I think what you get with Marcus Saul is just a IQ big man that can pass, shoot, and defend. He was a former DPOY for the
Yes, sir.
NBA, so
Was that
I can see.
09?
I don't actually know what year he received that,
I'll check it out
but
for you.
most likely most likely he was in Memphis.
He definitely was.
But
Keep going though. I'll let that up for you, bro. I got you.
all right, so he's 7'1", 250.
Big man.
He's probably what, top five center in the league. Is that a hot take? I don't know.
Possibly. His defensive player of the year was in 2013.
2013. So that wasn't that far away, honestly.
Yes, sir. Real quick, I'm gonna check out his defensive rating for that year. This year, it is a 104, a 101.4. His assist to turnover ratio is 4.67, which is really good, especially for a center. It's for centers, they turn it over a lot. They don't really get assists that often. For that year,
Yeah,
his
so
defensive rating was like a 95.5. That's not really
right now in the
good.
series against the 76ers, he's averaging 15 points, 4.5 re or assists, sorry, and 50% from 3-point. So
Yes.
as you can see,
That was
him
for who?
and that's
I'm sorry.
for the what's it called, 76ers series right now.
Okay, cool. Yep.
Yeah, so right now you can see them dominating the 76ers. In my opinion, I think they're gonna win. So
Yeah,
what do you think about that? Do you think they're gonna win?
we have the same exact playoff bracket, bro. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think we're gonna win as well. So to get into these advanced stats real quick, I'm gonna just say them out real quick. 79 games played this year, 107.9 offensive rating, really good. Defensive rating 104.1 as previously stated. Assist to turnover ratio 2.25. Field goal true shooting percentage 54.6. His usage rate is 20.8. Just all around good player. Another centerpiece player that you can put on any team, and he will make that defense better.
Instantly.
Yes. I heard a statistic where Jaren Jackson Jr., the rookie for the Grizzlies, when he was on the floor with Marc Gasol, his defensive rating went up by, I believe, 12 points. So that's an insane increase. He makes it easier for other big men to get blocks because he's down there. You can't back him down. You know, you can't really – it's not really much you can do against him. He's going to get a block. He's just going to work you. You're going to have to work hard down low against him.
One other thing is I didn't know this, but I guess his nickname is La Taquita. So so how can you not have him on the team? But, no, I think Marc Gasol, he's one of the players that you can kind of take him out from the team he's on, put him on a different team, and he will fit right in. One thing it is for concern, I would say, is he's 34, getting paid $28 million. So he might need to take a pay cut, depending on what team he goes to.
Just because
he is getting older.
I'm not sure I agree with that. Simply because, despite the fact that he's getting older, I think you can put him on a short term deal with a high amount of money. There's ways you can get around age, and I don't think he's regressing at all. So,
yeah, but same thing with LeBron though. People thought that he wasn't regressing, or he didn't look, you know, his age. But you've seen this year after the injury against the Warriors, he was looking a little bit older, a little bit slower. And I don't know if that was just the injury that, you know, kind of fucked him up for the entire season, or if that's just how, you know, he is now.
So with that conversation, I don't want to get too deep into that, but I kind of disagree with you. I think that the stats say otherwise. I'm pretty sure that he's not going down as much. I just think he's in a more difficult conference, so he can't just fucking will his team to win the way he could in the East.
Yeah, but I don't know how many Lakers game you actually watched. I watched most of them, I want to say.
I watched a lot.
He just didn't look like LeBron to me.
Yeah.
Personally.
Later in the season, yeah, he definitely looked heavier, and it was it seemed to be a bit more difficult for him to get off the ground.
Yeah, he didn't look at it. Yeah, he didn't look at explosive as he usually does. You know, that could be the injury, though. I don't want to get too deep into it, like you said, because we'd probably be here all day.
Yes, sir. So, another player, our last player on our shared list, Mr. Harrison Barnes. I don't think that he's a player that you can put on your team and instantly make your team better. But I definitely think that you can put him on any team and he's going to score and score efficiently. He's going to be a good scorer. He's going to score efficiently. The last 4 years, he's averaged damn near 50% from the field goal percentage. 2016, it was 50. 2017, it was 49.8. 2018, it was 49.4. And this year it was 50.4. And in 2016, his points were 11. The next year it was 19. The year after that it was 18. And this year it was 16. So he's scoring scoring at a high volume and doing it with a great percentage. Yeah, so I'm not exactly sure, like hold on, my bad. Let me run that back. Good God. I was reading
that.
That was his
Harrison Barnes
percentage. I apologize. His actual percentage is pretty low. He's but still efficient enough, and he's you can't let him just do him. You have to put him in a system where he scores and where other people touch the ball. You can't really just – he can't be your star player. He can't be your number
one. Yeah, he can't be the first scoring option. Now, with Harrison Barnes, some people forget he was on the Warriors. He won a championship, and he was also on the team that won 72-9.
Now,
but, or I'm sorry, 73-9.
But let's talk about that 73-9 team. In that playoff series, I don't know if you watched it. I watched damn near every single game. I had some money on it, so, of course, I was watching. There was several – I believe it was game 7 several wide open shots from Harrison Barnes just bricked it off. And despite that, I think that if you don't, again, he can't be your number one option. He probably can't be the number three option on a championship team. But you put him in the system, you put him in a place where he can just get a few buckets, off the bench, where he can get a few buckets. He's played 77 seasons these last 2 years, so he's not missing a lot of games on high minutes. So he's not missing a lot of games. He's out here doing his thing, and he's scoring at a pretty fairly efficient rate with high points. Anything you want to say about Harrison Barnes?
Harrison Barnes, he's small forward, 6'8", 225. I liked him in Dallas. I thought he was actually going to stay in Dallas.
Yes, sir.
So that was kind of kind of weird. He's averaging this season 16.4 four rebounds. I think for Sacramento Kings, if they keep him, that would be okay. He's not necessarily getting that much paid. He's only getting paid 23.
That's ridiculous for him, but go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, but I don't think it's necessarily, you know,
it's crazy. Not a max deal.
Yeah.
So it's not terrible.
But I still think he's a guy that you want to keep on your team. You know, he can give the opponent team some buckets here and there. He can also defend really good. He's 6'8", so, you know, he's long. So I think this is a sleeper when it comes to free agents.
And go ahead. Sorry, my bad, bro.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think personally that the Kings should keep him because the team, he's fairly young. He's still 26, or he could be 27 now, but this season he's 26. It's not like he's regressing. He's still at his peak performance as of right now. And I think that he can help the young players, not necessarily as a leadership in a leadership role, but as a veteran role. I think he can help the young players because he has championship experience, playoff experience, a lot of experience in a lot of different ways. And I think that with the progression of De'Aaron Fox, the ridiculous progression of De'Aaron Fox, Jesus Christ, he went from a solid rookie to like a good sophomore. So with the progression of De'Aaron Fox and Bradley Beal Buddy Hield, sorry, they rhyme, so I kind of got him confused. With the progression of De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield, I think that he would be a decent three to come off the bench for them. I'm pretty sure that's about it that I want to talk. That's about all I want to talk about Harrison Barnes. I think we're gonna get into our personal people now, and I think I want you to start, Big Yo.
All right. So my first person would be Ricky Rubio, point guard. Everybody knows who Ricky Rubio is. 28 years old. So for this season with Utah Jazz, he was averaging 12.7, so 13 points. You know, with Ricky Rubio, you're just going to get a solid point guard that knows how to pass. He knows how to create for players. He also, for this season, was averaging his three-point average was 31, which isn't the best necessarily, but Rubio never really shoots or never really,
Get
points like that. So I think that with him being on Utah, I think he's going to stay in Utah. Only his second season. Overall, he's been averaging 12.9 points. And then assists, he's averaging, 5.7 assists. Sorry.
Right.
So I don't necessarily know who needs a point guard right now. I think maybe the Suns.
I think he would be great on the Suns. Just because he could get DeAndre Ayton the ball, I don't think that they're doing a good enough job getting DeAndre Ayton the ball.
But I don't think he would be a bad choice for a point guard. If a team is looking for a point guard, he's only getting paid 13 mil. Ricky Rubio would be an amazing addition to your team. But I don't think he's gonna leave Utah. How he looks with Mitchell, I think them two make a really good backcourt team.
Real quick, fun fact about Ricky Rubio, he got drafted above Stephen Curry.
Wow. Another fun fact, he almost has the same birthday as me. So we're going to go. So my next choice is, do you want to go? You go and then I go.
If you want. But I kind of was thinking that we'd go back, that we'd go 5-5. But I'll go next. No issue. My first player is Cantor. Having a crazy season in the playoffs this year. It's really crazy. Just, you know, all around having a good season. This is probably his career year. In the playoffs right now, he is averaging 14.4 points, 10.2 rebounds. Damn near a block and has a 2.1 plus minus, 57% from the field goal percentage. His plus minus is up. Is that 6-8? Because last year it was negative 6.6 in OKC. So he's obviously doing better. Also in OKC, his field goal percentage last year was 38.5. He was just abysmal in that series against the Jazz. But this year, he's just been turning it around in the playoffs. It's really crazy to watch. His free throw percentage is really good. It's 85.2. That's good for a center. Damn near 90%. Let's see with his minutes. In the playoffs this year, his minutes have been 33. Let's get to the more traditional stats, though, for just the regular season. He isn't a spectacular defender, but he's been defending his ass off for this team this year.
With a fucking broken shoulder, basically.
Yeah, I'm sure he tore his labrum. But he is averaging for the season, and this is combined with New York and Portland, he is averaging for the season 13.7 points, 9.8 rebounds, and 78% for the free throw percentage, and for his field goal percentage, it is 54.9, damn near 55. I'm not going to say he's a great defender, but he's just a guy that can get in the paint, tire out your other center, pretty much back down to any other center in the league. You know, you know what you're getting with him. He's going to go out there, he's going to post up, he's going to get you buckets. He's going to put almost Tim Duncan-esque. He's going to post, he's going to back you down, he's going to put the ball in the square. So
yeah, just another thing to highlight. Now his points might not look as good as you might think, but that has to do also with the Knicks not necessarily playing him a lot, and then he did get traded to Portland later in the season. So that's why I think he would be better, or his stats would be better. But again, he was in New York and didn't necessarily use him or play him at all.
So real quick, he's only averaging 24 minutes this season. He was averaging 25 in New York and is averaging 22.3 in Portland. But still found a way to average 9.8 rebounds for the entire season and 10.5 on the Knicks. So despite his lack of minutes, he's still out there getting some good rebounds and giving some good minutes.
He's just a hustle player.
You know, he's gonna force you down. He's gonna, you know, make you fight to get that block. He's just gonna put the ball in the basket, man. And he's just a good scoring center. Next up for you, Mr. Jovani.
So I got Bogdan Bogdanovic. Plays for the Pacers now. Yeah, so he was actually in the playoffs this postseason against the Celtics. I'm sorry. Lost my train of thought there. So he was averaging 22 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists against Boston. And they didn't have no Oladipo, which, honestly, best player for the Pacers. So he kind of took that role of leader and, you know, number one option, which I think he did very good in. So I'm not sure of how many actually watch the series there with the Celtics, but every half of every game in that season, the actual the Pacers were actually up by a couple, and then later on in the other half they were kind of trash in defense. But I think Bogdan Bogdanovic, I think he's a overall good player. that you can use on your team. Now, for three-pointer this season, he was actually averaging 42%. And then taking four or basically five threes pointers a game, he was averaging 18 points, 1.7 turnovers per game. So that's not terrible. That doesn't mean he's over here playing around with the ball. He knows what to do. Assists per game, 2 points, steal for games, one steal. And then I just think that overall, he was in Brooklyn. He was in the Wizards. Now with the Pacers, I think he's going to stay with the Pacers. And also, I think if Oladipo was back, that series would be more, you know, a highly contested. Yeah. He's 29. Not necessarily old, not necessarily young either. He's only getting paid 10 mil. So I think if he gets signed for, or I'm sorry, he's getting paid 10 mil, and I think if he gets signed for maybe 12, 13 mil, that would be a good pickup for whatever team picks him up. He's 6'8", 216, so he's not necessarily that small. He can post up, he can shoot threes, so he can kind of do everything on your team there. I don't think necessarily he can be a number one guy. We've seen in Indiana, he's a pretty good number one guy, but I still think he could be the third best player, second best player. I don't think necessarily you need to run your offense against him. He does real need. Quick,
sorry to interrupt your spiel, but I would like to know: when you say second best player or third best player, do you mean on a championship contending team or a playoff contending team?
No, championship.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. I don't think he can be a number one option this year. He was for, I guess, half of the season when Oladipo got out. They were a third seed for most of the season. I'm not sure what they ended up with. 1 second here. Let me go ahead and look that up. So they were the fifth seed. So they were actually a third seed for most of the regular season until the latter half of the season. But I still think that he's a good pickup for whatever team ends up getting him. I wouldn't mind him on the Lakers. I could see that actually. If, you know, we're trying to get a free agent and we end up just not getting anybody, that would be a great pickup for the Lakers. All around.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Classic shooting around LeBron. He's a good shooter. Put him next to LeBron. Yeah. Got to be a great shooter.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a good idea to keep him with LeBron, or if the Lakers end up going that way, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Yeah, so Bogdanović, that's my second underrated player.
Okay, and with my next underrated player, I'm going to go with Taj Gibson. He's on a pretty bad contract this year, $14 million. I probably wouldn't pay him that much. Maybe $8, $9 million would be good for him. This year, his defensive rating was 110, ridiculous, a 110. Just an all-around good defensive power forward. He can get down low. He can get some blocks. He averages about, if my fucking computer can stop acting retarded, he averages about about half a block a game. To be fair, though, he only plays 24 minutes, so that's solid enough. His field goal percentage is a 56.6 on 10 points and 1.2 steals and 6.5 rebounds. Again, 24 minutes. That's really good. I would maybe 8 million is a bit of a stretch for him. He is 33. Maybe 8 million for 1 year, or probably like five million for about 3 years would be cool. 15 million in total. That's pretty decent for him. I think that if you need defense and you need it fast in the paint, Taj Gibson is the way to go, man. He just gets in shooters' faces and he causes them to miss. That's pretty much like the basis of defense, and he does it, and he does it well. He's not really that great of a three-point shooter. He never has been. He only shot half a three-pointer a game this year, and he only scored about 32%. If you're shooting half a three-pointer a game, then you probably should shoot at least like 50%. But unfortunately, that is not the case for him. Go ahead.
Sorry to Yeah, sorry to cut you off here. How old is he?
He is 33.
33?
He was a bit older when he came into the league. He was 24. That's pretty old for a rookie to me, personally.
Yeah.
He's been in the league for 9 years. Damn near, I think next year will be his 10th. 6'9", 230. You know what you're getting. You're getting a solid defensive guy. Solid is a stretch. A great defensive guy that gets you about 11 points and about 7 rebounds.
You know what you're also getting?
What else are you getting?
Playoff experience.
High-quality playoff experience, not just playoff experience. Experience with a team that was contending for a championship, and he was still doing his goddamn thing on that team. As a matter of fact, in the 2011 season, he was averaging 5.7 rebounds and on 46%. That was only his second year in the league. He started 19 games for that season. He just did really good. And I think that any team would be lucky to have him. OKC had him in 2016 for about 30 – wait, how many games? For about 55 – for about 23 games. He only started 16 of them. And he was a full-fledged starter last year. But I don't know if he's a starting player. I think that you bring him – you have a solid power forward. You bring him off your bench. You put him next to it would be amazing if you put him next to like Rudy Gobert. Put him next to it'd be a little difficult for the spacing, but mid-range shots he can hit those. In the paint he can hit those. You know, he's just a really all-around good power forward. You know, a little older, but he still is going to give you buckets. I wouldn't pay him however much I said he was getting paid, 14 million. I definitely wouldn't pay him 14 million. But about $5 million for 3 years would be not terrible on your cap, and probably put a team option on that because he's a bit older. But real quick, that was just a real quick one for Taj Gibson. You know, not really a young dude, so I don't really want to go too long on him.
All right, so I have next Big Danny Green. Daniel Richard Green Jr.
Big Danny.
My mains. Yeah, so actually this season, we know Danny as a 3-and-D guy. So this season, he's actually averaging 45% from three.
That's fucking incredible.
Yeah, that's incredible. And that's actually the most he's averaged ever, even San Antonio.
You said how much?
45%. The most he's averaged. Playoffs? No, I'm looking at the stats right now. You can go ahead and look it up.
Right. I'm looking at it. Oh, in the playoffs, he's averaging 34, which is not great, but he's Danny Green, so he'll get it together.
Yeah, so Danny Green, proven champion, multiple playoff appearances. He was in the Spurs with Pop, so you know he's going to be an amazing player. Mostly everybody from that organization, all the players, ex-players, say that that's one of the best organizations they've been with. After that, you know, that kind of helped them grow. Now, Danny, I could see going on any team, virtually any team, honestly. He would be amazing at the Warriors. He would be amazing back in San Antonio. He would be amazing everywhere. So Danny Green, 3-and-D guy, not that much to really talk about him. If you watch NBA, if you're a casual fan, you might not know how good Danny Green is, but he is pretty good. He doesn't necessarily average the most points for your team, but I would consider him a clutch player. You can kind of let him wander off in the corner there with nobody guarding him. He's most likely going to knock that down, and he could possibly guard the best player that's, I would say, not a power forward or center on the opposition's team. So I'm trusting Danny. So again, Danny Green, championship experience, playoff experience. You know, you want that on your team.
Real quick, if I could slide in there and give you his defensive rating, another high defensive rating player, 103.7. Really good. True shooting, 63.2. Amazing. just the all around. You touched on his defense, but you really spoke more about his offensive game. Just slide in some defensive stats for you. Real quick, I'm pretty sure he has a really high block per game, or he had a really high block per game season at some point. This year, he was at 0.4. He's a shooting guard, and he's getting damn near half a block a game. That's pretty amazing. In the playoffs, he's at 0.4. He's at 0.7 in the regular season. Again, really, that's a high block per game for a shooting guard. So,
we can just go as he gets one block a game. He also gets 4 rebounds this season. Again, the most he's basically the most he's been averaging in 2014. He averaged 4.2 rebounds per game. I'm sorry, a little retarded there. So I think Danny Green, again, you can virtually pick him from the Toronto Raptors and put him in on any team. I feel like the Lakers should try to target Danny Green. He's a very good guy. He's 6'6", 215. He can shoot. He can defend. That's what the Lakers need right now. Another great player to have LeBron with, pairing with LeBron. It's going to be a great matchup.
Fun fact about Danny Green, he is Kawhi Leonard's best friend. So if you get Danny Green to sign to your team, there's a high probability that you could get Kawhi. It'll be way easier to get Kawhi from but I doubt that Danny Green will be leaving the Toronto Raptors. Toronto. Because if I'm not mistaken, he's trying to convince Kawhi to stay. So, again, great player. Be amazing to have on your team.
Yeah. He is 31, which I don't think is concerning in any way, just because the way he plays, it doesn't seem like he's getting old. It doesn't seem like he's slowing down. So I wouldn't necessarily, that wouldn't really show me any red flags for Danny. He's only getting paid $10 million this year. So, he's a decent – or I'm sorry, not a decent player, but he's an amazing player if you can get him. So I would suggest any team that is listening to the podcast, because I know you are, to go ahead and get Danny. He's a free agent this year. Danny Green, one of the best players, I would say – one of the best two guards, I would say, in the past, 5 years? I would suggest anybody to go try to get out and get Daniel Richard Green.
All right. Now on to, I believe, player number 3 on my list. Yes, sir, player number 3. Big Rudy, Rudy Gay, formerly a part of the Gay Cousins duo with DeMarcus Cousins in Sacramento. That's what I like to call him. They didn't win much there, but it's fun to call them the Gay Cousins duo. This year he is averaging 13 points and 6.8 rebounds, 2.6 assists, on his field goal percentage being 50. He's in San Antonio. Yeah, when you're in San Antonio, you have a very coachable player. He'll play in your system. He'll give you some points. He'll draw fouls. He shoots about 2 fouls a game, 2 free throws a game at 81%. His 3-point percentage is 40, so that's good. And he's averaging about 26 minutes this game or this season. And for him to be 32, averaging 13 points, seven rebounds and 2 assists on 26 minutes, that's pretty decent to me. Personally, real quick, his offensive rating, which I haven't spoke about a lot, 109.8. That's good. Just all around a solid player that you can play at the 3 or the 4. He's about, if I'm not mistaken, 6'8". Yes, 6'8", 230. He's just, man, you put Rudy Gay on damn near any team, he can get you some buckets. Right now the Spurs have him coming off the bench with DeMar starting as the 3, which is his, if I'm not mistaken, his natural position. But we were having him run the four with LaMarcus Aldridge as a small ball four. Been in the league 12 years, number eight pick in the 2006 draft. He doesn't even look to be aging, really. Like, his points have gone down, but I'm pretty sure that's in response to his usage going down. Just an all-around really good player. You put him on any team, he'll get some buckets for you. He'll stop a few guys. You know, just an all-around great player. He's been one of my favorite. He's been one of the high points for a Spurs fan such as myself, him doing his thing. In the, I believe, the game seven, if I'm not mistaken, he came out and he just gave some buckets out to the Nuggets, man. Just gave some buckets out and really brought that game back to really close, because we were down by a lot going into that. And to, at the end, we ended up being down three. So there was opportunity to win that game. If a few things went right, we would be facing the Trailblazers right now. But, you know, Rudy Gay, all-around good player. Just 2 years ago, he was averaging 18.7 points. He's on the Spurs now, so, again, system player. You know, it's like that sometimes. But you know, you put him on the bench for any team, he's going to get some buckets. You start him, he's going to get you some buckets. Anything you do with him, he'll get you some buckets. He'll shoot some threes. He'll back down a rookie. You know, he'll just do it bad. So, I personally, one of my favorite players on the Spurs right now, top three favorite. He's probably like number three. This year, he is getting paid about, if I'm not mistaken, 12 mil. Real quick, let me check. Let me double check that. While I'm checking that, do you have anything to say about Rudy?
Rudy, I don't necessarily watch that much Spurs games, personally. I do know that he's coming off the six-man spot, correct?
Yeah, as of right now, yes.
Yeah, so I can see him being a starter in, you know, most teams. I can see him being a starter in most teams. He's a little bit older, but I don't see him regressing at all. So, you know, he would be a great pickup for any team. I don't think necessarily he's leaving. I think he kind of likes where he's at with the Spurs. So, you know, if you can, try to get him. If not, you know, too bad.
Real quick, I said that he was coming off the bench. With Popovich, he plays certain players in certain places depending on who he's playing against. So he's not necessarily always coming off the bench. He did start pretty much most of the season, 51 starts this season. Last year, he only had six. He's just, you know, he's just a really good player. You put him on your team, he'll get you some buckets. Get him, he'll get you some buckets. Please stay with Spurs.
You forgot to say he's getting paid 10 mil. You said you were looking it up.
Oh, yeah, 10 mil. I thought I said it.
10 mil. I didn't hear you.
Sorry. Okay, so yeah, he's getting paid 10 mil. We have bird rights on him, so we can go over the cap to get him back. I doubt we'll have to. I think that he deserves about 7 mil, but he's probably going to end up getting paid about 12, just because that's the cap. That's the amount that the cap holds probably going to be. We have about 12 million in cap in untouched cap space. So, yeah, man, if we can get Rudy. That'd be if we can keep Rudy, that'd be amazing. If you want Rudy, please go get him. He's solid. He'll get you some buckets.
Yeah. So I have the player coming up next. I have Julius Randle. I am a big Laker fan. I honestly hate that we didn't walk. I feel like he should have stayed. I feel like he would have developed with LeBron, how LeBron takes care of his body, how LeBron works out. Feel like Julius Randle and him would have been making a good pairing. So Julius Randle was a 7-7 pick in the 2014 draft. So he was a pretty good pick there for the Lakers, I feel like. So this year he's had a career year. He's been averaging from 32%. He's averaging 34%. He's averaging 21 points, half a block, and then three assists. Also, total rebounds, he's averaging 8.7, so nine rebounds each year. Randall, you know where you're going to get. He's 6'9", I think 250. Yeah, 6'9", 250. He's listed as a center slash power forward. With today's NBA, I can see him going as a center, depending, you know, if they want to run small ball. As a power forward, all he has to do is put his head down, go to the basket, make some weird layup. If you watch the Lakers game, he has a lot of ugly, ugly layups, but they go in. He is 24. He played 73 games this season. So I can see Randall being a hot commodity this year. I do see him working on his 3-point shots. I do know that he wasn't the best 3-point shooter with the Lakers, but in New Orleans, you have to respect his shot. So you can't necessarily just leave him open. From the field, he's shooting 52%. That was a little drop off with the Lakers. He was averaging 55, but that's not necessarily that bad to me. So Randall, all he has to do, put his head down and go into the basket. You know, he's going to get points. He's going to get fouled. He's a big guy. He's a very strong guy as well. So he can push around people in the paint. I don't think, let me see how much he's getting paid. He's only getting paid $8 million. I think he is going to go for 15, I want to say. Just because, you know, every number is up. You can see him. You can see him working. You can see him. Everything is just up. So you can see that he's developing out. He's
good he's pick. Having a career year.
Yeah, he's a good pick in the seventh, as the seventh pick in the 14 draft. So I would just say, to cap this off, I think Randall would fit good.
Back with the
Rangers. I don't know. Yeah, back with the Lakers, honestly, to me. I think if the Rockets can go for him, I mean, they don't have cap space unless they waive a couple people or, you know, whatever happens to trade or something. I don't know. He's a free agent, so they can't even trade for him. But I think if the Rockets pick him up, because he's a great defender, well, not great necessarily, but he's an okay defender. I think that if he's on the Rockets, have that big body there in the paint with Capella, that can help them out good. I think he's an underrated free agent, but I do think that he's one of the top guys there that you can get. That's not KD, you know, Kyrie, Kawhi. I think he's one of the top underrated players here.
Yes, sir. I don't really watch too much Pelican basketball. I didn't really watch too much Lakers basketball when he was there. I do know that he's been shooting well this season, and I do know that he has been barreling to the rim because he's huge. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Fight down there, you know. Yeah, he's a good player all around to me. If you're done,
I'm done. I don't think if – do you want to go ahead and talk about the next person? Not like after – I'm talking about after this, just because the podcast is getting a little long. I'm not sure if you want to stop it after this one or do you just want to go
Actually,
ahead and continue?
We can just shut it down now if you'd like. I don't
No, I mean, it's up to you. I don't care.
No, but I'm saying, but we can finish this off on a different day because what are you on? That's your fourth?
Yeah, that's my fourth.
Julius was your fourth? Okay, and then Nikola would be my fourth, and then my fifth would be coming up in the next episode. So we could just shut it down.
Okay.
Let's probably go ahead. 70 minutes again, so.
I mean, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, but all right. I'm going to close out this podcast by saying thank you for listening to The Lockdown. I very much so appreciate it. I feel like we let you guys down by not putting out a pod this weekend.
Yeah,
I genuinely feel bad about that.
Yeah, we were actually talking about it doing the podcast, but We ended up not doing it. I don't even think we probably wouldn't be able to upload it just because of the Wi-Fi there wasn't the greatest.
It was terrible. It was just really bad.
Yeah, and we ended up sleeping a little bit. Well, Dimitri did. Me, I kind of stayed up a little bit long.
Yeah.
Mitros.
I did go to bed at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, we did have fun over the weekend. Again, sorry for not uploading a podcast there. Most likely, we are going to go to Chicago again in the coming months. Maybe next month or whatever. I'm not sure. We got to plan that out.
We'll plan it out, and we'll let you guys know. We'll keep you guys updated.
Yeah.
If you guys care, you probably don't, but...
If you guys want to keep updated with us, we actually made a Twitter. Yes. It's the Lockdown Pod. At the Lockdown Pod on Twitter.
Yep.
We can go ahead and give us a follow. We're tweeting out stuff about games. We're going to update you when we're uploading a podcast.
Yes, sir.
We're going to go ahead and update you, you know, if we end up going to Chicago or we end up going somewhere else, somewhere cool. So just go ahead and keep that in mind that you can keep connected with us. You can tweet us about a game or a specific opinion that you guys have, and then we can go ahead and... you want to go ahead and talk about?
Yeah, real quick, we also have a YouTube channel. We haven't posted anything on it, so I'm not going to plug it, but we do have it. When we do podcasts in the same room, I will try to make sure that we record the entirety of the podcast.
Yeah, I also have to remember about my camera. I have this little like action cam kind of GoPro knockoff stuff that I should have taken to Chicago, but ended up forgetting it. So we can go ahead and use that.
So we're gonna try to record the entirety of our podcast. If we do, we'll probably cut it up to clips and just post it up. We don't really want to be a YouTube podcast. We want to be a podcast that's kind of on YouTube. If you guys do want to see us on the platform doing our full podcast in its entirety, let us know on our Twitter. Again, say that for me again. Yo, at the Lockdown Pod.
It's at the Lockdown Pod on Twitter. Don't forget about it. We most likely are going to change our header to a picture of me and Dimitri. Mitros. Likely. So you can follow us there. You can also follow us on our Twitter. So mine's at Big Yovani. That's Yovani. And then what's yours?
Mine is at Meech Rose, MECHROSE. I just tweet about random shit. I don't really have a filter when it comes to Twitter. So, you know, I post anything I want.
Yeah, so just be aware of that.
some of the things I post, you know, may offend you, may not, you know.
So, again, our schedule, so we're recording this on Monday. It's going to come out on Tuesday. So our schedule is Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. We're going to try to get out episodes of our podcast. Maybe Sunday, depending if there is something crazy that we just have to talk about, we can do a quick podcast about.
And also, real quick, we may start live tweeting games. So
I feel like we should actually.
Yeah, so we'll watch a game. Me and Yovani will probably not be in the same room, but we'll watch a game simultaneously, and we'll be posting on the podcast. We'll put who's posting it at the bottom, if it's me or if it's Yo-Yo. We'll keep you updated on that. We might do that for the finals. We're probably gonna do that for the finals. Like, damn, they're pop.
Yeah, most likely in the finals, we're probably gonna be watching the games together. So we're gonna be tweeting, live tweeting that. Also, we're just gonna write down notes here and there so we can talk about it in the podcast. Depending if we have the finals, as we think, you know, in our episode, our first episode, we're gonna be
talking cash shit.
Man, so much shit. but if it doesn't pan out, then I'm sorry, we're not fucking geniuses. We just have opinions.
Anything can happen in the NBA, so
that is true. Yeah,
someone could get hurt and could fuck up our entire fucking thing. You know.
Yeah, God forbid, though. That.
Yeah, God forbid. I don't want anyone getting hurt. We were supposed to close out this podcast, and we went on for another 5 minutes. Yeah, man. We didn't really want to get into the playoff games too much because we've done that for the last two episodes, and I wanted to kind of slide out of that area and slide more
into it was gonna get repetitive.
Funner. Yeah, and we wanted to slide into some funner, more creatively challenging lists and things of that nature. Yeah. As you know, we take forever to say anything, so we can make anything a fucking long hour
episode. And a half, yeah. But if there is something in particular that you want us to talk about, just tweet it at either me or Dimitri's personal Twitters, or again at the Lockdown Pod, which is our Twitter for our podcast. Yes, yeah. And we both have access to that, so either one of us could respond with an opinion, and then we can also talk about it in the podcast.
And real quick, we'll talk about pretty much anything basketball except for the WNBA. That's it on that topic. Now I'm gonna close it out real quick. Again, I'm gonna try to close it out. I have been Meech Rose. This was Big Yovani. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you for listening, and goodbye and good night.
All right, we out. Peace.
Peace.